You want to turn around and wave and say, hi, everybody. Welcome. We're glad you're here. So what are some words, let me start by asking this, what are some words you would use to describe 2020 so far this year?
Nuts.
That's a good start. The laughter, nuts, what's that?
Dumpster fire.
Dumpster fire, that's good.
Good one.
What else?
Hot mess.
Hot mess, yeah.
Cleveland Browns 2 years ago.
Say that again.
Cleveland Browns 2 years ago.
Actually, let me correct you, Cleveland Browns ever, right? That's more of a description, yeah. At some point, I think 2020, just that word is going to become the description for anything. It's ridiculous, crazy, unhinged, weird, you know, not good. That is just going to be, oh, that's a real 2020, right? That's going to be what happens with this. So it's been just an insane year. So the year starts with impeachment, and then it's followed by COVID-19, this worldwide pandemic. And in the middle of that, like as that was just getting wound up, somewhere along the line, the government just kind of under the radar said, oh, by the way, that thing about UFOs, that's real. We have video of that. And that was just kind of swept under the rug. Like, what happened to that? Like, did anybody even notice that? And then, you know, we've got the racial tension and the riots that have been going on for a few months now. And then the coin shortage. And they're saying there's no coins left. And a lot of places you can't even pay cash anymore. And then the murder hornets, right? They're like, we're going to get invaded by these murder hornets. And I've seen people posting stuff on Facebook saying, what about the murder hornets? I guess they're not coming. No, they're coming. They're just in a holding pattern right now. They're waiting until it's safe for them to arrive. They're like, we're not going there right now. It's just too much craziness going on. But they will be here, I'm sure. At some point, they'll show up. And that's all happening in the middle of an election year. An election year. So like every time you go online, you got videos popping up and advertisements and stuff for this candidate. I mean, it's a crazy, ridiculous 2020 kind of year, right? That's what this is. The good news is this, that in the middle of all of that, God is still up to something. I'm always amazed when I see this of how it's easy for us to get so focused on all the bad things that are happening and all the craziness happening to us or around us. We get so focused on that, we can forget the fact that even in the middle of that, God is doing some really amazing things. And sometimes God has a way of even taking those bad things and turning them around and using them for a springboard for something really cool. Some of you have seen that happen in your lives. And she's staring at me again. Wow. She's giving me the stink eye. Oh my goodness. Did I offend you? Did I step on your toes? So she's one of the great things that happened in 2020, right? That's one of the things we're very thankful for. And we have another great thing. Where is
Lila?
Huh? Okay. All right. So yeah. So God is doing some great things in the middle of that, right? And a couple of weeks ago, I had a period of about 2 weeks where everything was just bad, and there was a lot of bad things happening. It was like one thing after another, and I was not doing well, and I was very depressed and very discouraged, and it just felt like nothing was going right. And some of you have had that, right? You've been there. You know exactly what that's like. And Sheila and I were sitting down and talking about it. This is a couple Sundays ago in the evening. We were just talking about it, and she started mentioning some of the things that God is doing, some of the really cool things. And it made me start thinking, I need to notice that too. And so I sat down within a period of just a few minutes. I was able to write down 24 amazing things that God has been doing. In the middle of all that bad stuff that was happening, there was 24 things that came to mind that God was doing that was really cool and really awesome. So it's always good for us when we're in the middle of those dark times to not ignore them, but to take a step back and to say, okay, God, where is your hand at work? Where can I see you doing some things even in the middle of all of this? Take a look at what Jesus said in John 5:17. He said, my Father is always working, and so am I. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? My Father is always working, he said, and so am I. So Jesus is saying, I'm up to something. I'm doing some things. I'm accomplishing my purposes. I am at work in your life, even if you don't see it. He says, always. That's a key word. So he's saying, I'm doing my work, even when you can't see it because of all the other stuff that's happening. I'm doing my work. I am accomplishing my purposes, even in the middle of 2020. Or whatever trials and difficulties and struggles you're going through right now, Jesus says, I am always working. The Father is at work, and I am at work. It's happening even when you can't see it yet. And in this specific instance, the religious leaders were attacking Jesus for healing someone on the Sabbath. They had a lot of rules and regulations about that. They said, you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this. You have to do what we tell you instead. And Jesus shows them, listen, whatever the barriers are that you put up, God is still going to get his work done. Whatever laws and rules mankind puts in place, God's plans are still going to prevail. Jesus did this over and over again, didn't he? Every time Jesus did a miracle, he demonstrated that the laws of nature and that which we think is impossible, that cannot stop God's plans from happening. Every time he healed someone, he showed that sickness can't stop God's plans. Injustice can't stop God's plans. We talked about this all summer long. The unacceptable can't stop God's plans. And the resurrection of Jesus shows us that even death can't stop God's plans. The Father, Jesus said, is always working. Even when you can't see it, no matter what else is happening to you, no matter what else is happening around you, Jesus says the Father is at work in your life, and so am I. Now think about this for a couple of minutes. What is it he's working on? Well, the author of this book, John, Jesus' closest disciple, wrote other books later on. And in one of those books, he said this in 1 John 3:8, the Son of Man came to destroy the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came. To oppose the work that the enemy is doing. To undo the damage the enemy has caused. Another place Jesus said that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So wherever we see death, loss, and destruction, that's the work of the enemy. That's what Jesus came to oppose. Wherever we see injustice, wherever we see perversion, like all the stuff we're hearing now about things that have been going on with Hollywood celebrities and politicians that's been ignored and swept under the rug and is just now coming to the surface, that's the work of the enemy. That is the influence of the enemy. Jesus came to oppose that. Wherever you see sickness, wherever you see evil, wherever you see injustice, that is the work of the enemy. And Jesus came to destroy all of that. Now, here's where we fit in. He invites us to join him in that work. Jesus says, the Father is always working, and so am I. And then later on in his ministry, in John chapter 20, after the resurrection, as he is preparing to ascend back into heaven, he gathered with his followers and he said this in verses 21 and 22, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And then it says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, the Father is always working, and so am I. And then later he says to his followers, just as the Father sent me, I am sending you. So we have a mission to accomplish. God has invited us to join him in the work that he is doing. See, church isn't just about coming here on Sundays. It's about encountering him in our everyday lives, inviting him to transform us, and then carrying his presence and his power with us into every situation we step into. So today, I want to talk about some of what that looks like for us as a church. As Jesus says, the Father is at work, and so am I. And as he says, just as I've been sent out to do this work, I'm sending you out. What does that mean for us as a church? What is some of that work he's called us to? I want to talk today about some of the new things that are coming up for us as a church. Some of these are things that are going to start happening very soon over the next few weeks. Here's the first one. For the first 5 years of this church's existence, I worked a full-time job, plus I taught at Messiah College, plus I pastored this church. I was a pretty busy guy. So as things grew over time, the church was able to provide financially to where last April 2019, I was able to quit my full-time job, and being the pastor here became my full-time job. So I was able to devote more time to this ministry, and that's been a very good thing. The church has continued to grow, and as the church grows, there's more people coming in, there's more people getting involved, there's new ministries getting started. Ministries are growing and expanding. We have two services now instead of one, and we're talking about at some point adding a third service, adding a Saturday service. So there's a lot of great things happening that we've been praying for a long time, and they're happening. But what that also means, as things are growing, it also means that there's more responsibility placed on my shoulders as the pastor. More people coming means more responsibility for me and for the pastor's wife. More ministry starting means there's more responsibility for me for overseeing and making sure things are happening the way they should. So we want to make sure that nothing slips through the cracks. And so for the last several months, the elders and I, we've been talking about this and praying about this, and we've decided that it's time for us to add to our staff and to bring on staff a part-time director of student ministries. This is someone who will oversee and give leadership to the youth ministry and the kids ministries to give guidance and direction and to help them with any struggles that they might experience. Also to help with helping those ministries become outward focused as well. Right now, those ministries, for the most part, they're focused on students that are here at the church. And that's a good thing, but we also want them to grow to where we're reaching out to people that don't have a church home, and we're reaching people that maybe don't know Christ. We want to make sure that those ministries are reaching out and drawing those people in so they can find Christ as well. This person also is going to be working with more communication with the parents to make sure that we're not only impacting the students, but we're impacting the families as well, so that the families are aware of what their kids are learning, what their students are learning, especially families that they're not involved with the church, but they send their kids here. We want to make sure that we have a ministry to those families as well. This person is also going to help out with preaching from time to time and with some of the administrative things that will take some of the burden off of my shoulders as well. So starting the first Sunday in October, Dan Salinger is going to be coming on staff part-time as our director of student ministry. So I'm going to ask Dan to come on. And Dwight and Mandy and Sheila, come on up, and we're going to gather around. Lila was here with Danielle in the first service, but Lila was so noisy and so fussy, we couldn't have her. I'm just kidding. She's the most chill, quiet baby I've ever met. So we just want to pray for this family, for God's work in their lives as they step into this role.
Heavenly Father, I want to lift up our friend Dan to you. You have done so many wonderful things for this church, and we're now at the point that he's going to be coming on as staff. I mean, to start in a fire hall with a handful and a half of people to where we are today is an amazing and wonderful thing, and it's only possible through you and your love, Lord. So I just ask that you reach down with that love and bless Dan and his family. Take any kind of stress that might come upon them for taking on this role, take it away, Lord, and just give them strength and wisdom to do your work, Lord.
Father, I thank you for bringing this family to us. I thank you for their love for you. I thank you for their love for this church and the people here. I thank you for the heart you've given them for ministry. And I pray that as they step into this role, Father, that you would protect them from anything the enemy would do to deter them in any way or oppose their ministry. I pray in Jesus' name that your plans and purposes will prevail in their lives and in their ministry. And Father, I pray that you would raise up prayer warriors specifically for them to support them in the ministry that they're doing. And I pray that they would find joy and fulfillment in the ministry that you've called them to, God, that you would surround them with the right people who can be a support and an encouragement to them. And we just thank you, Lord, for the work you're going to do in Jesus' name. You can.
You should.
This is where I get to overtake the sermon, so we'll be done in 5 minutes. A couple things real quick. Kevin and Brooke, Dane and Miranda, Scott and Liz, Jean Marie and Paul Snyder, and Danielle, I'm a little biased because she's my wife, and Deb and Joe, they have all been instrumental in making sure the youth program is what it is. We wouldn't have a youth group without Scott and Liz stepping up to head that up. We wouldn't have the toddler ministry without Danielle, and we wouldn't have the kids ministry without Jean Marie. So this is not just a me thing, and I want to thank everyone who helped get the youth room ready. That's available for anyone to go down and check out today. We're like 80% done, but I'll probably say that forever. The other thing is we are having a meeting after church today for anyone that's interested in being a small group leader for the youth ministry. I know Devin and Savannah, you said you're going to be there. Okay. Anyone else I can sucker into coming? I just need to know so I have a head count for food. Nope. Okay, cool. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, sir.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. So, so that's the first change that I want to let you know about. The next one is that we have some new ministries that are starting up this fall that are new to our church, some things that are really important for you to be aware of. So first of all, youth ministry starts back up again in a couple of weeks, and that's going to be happening on Wednesday nights right down below where we are right now, down in the warehouse. That's going to be happening each Wednesday, and that's for teens, junior and senior high. Along with that, for the first time in our church's history, we're also going to have a midweek children's program for kindergarten through fifth grade. And that's going to be happening at the same time on Wednesdays. Along with that, we have two couples, the Weisbeckers and the Swars, who are going to be leading a small group that meets at the same time on Wednesday evening. So what that means is, let's say if you're a family and you've got kids, you can bring your kids here on Wednesday. And leave them here. We'll take good care of them. They're going to have a great time. They're going to develop friendships. They're going to learn about Jesus. They're going to be able to be around other people their age and just have fun learning and growing together. And while they're doing that, you can head over to Joe and Deb's house, and they're going to be leading a small group where you're going to be talking about building healthy relationships, whether it's a relationship with your spouse, relationship with your kids, relationship with just in general. How many of you like friendships and relationships? That's important to you? How many of you? Okay, that's almost everybody. So we all have room to grow in that area, right? That's a really important part of our lives. And the Bible has a lot to say about that. So they're going to be leading a group at the same time talking about those issues. So also at the same time as that, we're going to be having prayer meeting here as well on Wednesdays at 6:30. So there's a lot happening on Wednesdays. If you're looking for something to do on Wednesday, just show up here and you'll find something to do, I promise you. So there's a lot that's going to be happening, and that's all starting up just a few weeks from now. Also coming just a few weeks from now, we have a new class that's going to be starting up on Sunday mornings. Maybe you're here and that lottery ticket you bought, hoping that would be your retirement plan, didn't really work out. So like maybe you were off by one number and you just missed that $587 trillion, you know, mega lottery. And so you're like, okay, what do I do for retirement now? Or maybe you lost a ton of money because you bet a lot of money that the Eagles would win another Super Bowl. And you realize that's never, ever, ever going to happen. And so you're out all of that money, all of that. See, this is the most animated I've ever seen. You know, I can talk about how awesome God is, and you guys just sit there quiet and stare at me. I talk about football, and wow. So you know, or maybe it's, you know, COVID-19 has had a real impact on a lot of people financially. Or maybe you've got a lot of debt, and it's kind of a question of, where do I even begin to dig out of this hole that I'm in? So Adam is going to be offering a class that meets for 5 weeks starting September 13th. It's going to happen between the two services. And here's the deal. If you come all 5 weeks, at the end of those 5 weeks, your debt will be completely paid off, including your mortgage. You'll have enough money in savings to pay cash for that car you've always wanted and to retire in Hawaii by the time you're 50. That's what he's promised us. Okay. I'm just kidding. Maybe I'm overselling that a little bit. Just a little. But here's what you will have. You have an opportunity to learn about finances from a man who loves God and who understands how finances work. And that's a really important combination. And so in your handout that you received this morning, there's an insert that gives you more information about what's all included in that, the times and the place and everything else. Make sure you take a look at that. Now, let me just alleviate some fear that you might have, because a lot of times when churches are like, yeah, we're having a financial class, and everybody's like, yeah, I know what that's all about. I'm going to come, and you're going to make me feel guilty and tell me I need to give more money to the church. That's not what this class is about, okay? The Bible has a lot to say about money, about how we handle it, about getting out of debt, about making wise decisions. That matters to all of us. And so that's what this class offers, is an opportunity to learn what God says about managing our finances wisely. So that's going to be coming up just a few weeks from now. Now, another thing, new thing that's going to be starting up in a few weeks is our ministry teams. Now, some of you are looking at that and you're like, that sounds familiar. I don't think that's new. But sometimes leftovers can be pretty good too. So we're going to put this back in the microwave and warm it up, because we kind of started trying this out, right? We tried to get this started back in the spring, around February and then going into March, and then the world came to a screeching halt and none of this ever really got off the ground. So we want to bring this back. There's a lot of things we do as a church, and when we were a smaller church and there wasn't as much happening, most of these things were Sheila and I doing them, and we need to get more people involved, and we need to make sure that these things are getting done well. So three ministry teams that we're looking at is, let me just talk briefly about what these are and how you know if this is a good fit for you, okay? So first of all, the compassion team. The ministry of the compassion team is to help myself and the elders take care of the felt needs of people in our church. So it might be things like helping us to pray with people who need prayer. It might be organizing meals for somebody that's just gotten home from the hospital and they just need some help with people bringing meals by to help them out with that. Maybe it's following up with somebody that they haven't been to church for a little while. Maybe they're not able to, or maybe they just kind of got out of the habit and they just need somebody to just kind of check in. How are you doing? Is there anything you need? How can we as a church family help you? Maybe it's helping out with somebody that they've got some things going on at their house, but because of some physical needs, or maybe they just had surgery, they're not able to do things like mow the lawn or keep up with the yard, or there's some repairs they need around their house, and they just need somebody to step in and help out. So those are some things we want as a church family to be able to step in and to serve people who are experiencing those kind of difficulties. So this would be a good fit for you. If you enjoy working behind the scenes, like if you're like, I feel like I need to do something, but the thought of standing up in front of a group of people and talking just terrifies me, but I could do stuff behind the scenes, that fits, that works for you. Or if you're somebody that you notice needs that other people have that other people don't see. You're over at somebody's house or you have a conversation and you notice, hey, they just mentioned this, that's a need. I bet I could do something to help out. Then this is probably a good fit for you. If you're somebody who enjoys cooking or you enjoy cleaning, you enjoy yard work, or you're good with your hands, you're good fixing things. If any of those fit you, this ministry would be a good fit for you. The next team we want to have up and running is our special events team. And this is all about, as a church, we like to do fun things together. So last year, in December, we did the Ugly Christmas Sweater Party. That was a great time. We've done game nights. We've had several dances here, which has been a lot of fun. Donna Culbertson has planned those out. She planned a disco dance a couple of years ago. We had it downstairs in the warehouse. A couple of years before that, she planned a 50s-themed sock hop. That was a lot of fun. We want to do more of those kind of things. And what that's all about is it's not an outreach event. It's not like a super spiritual thing. It's just an opportunity for us as a church family just to get together, have fun together, build relationships, and take a break from the busyness and craziness of everyday life. So we've done some of those things, but we haven't been real intentional about doing them consistently. And we would like to do that to where we have like four or five of those events every single year. But we need a ministry team to organize that and to help plan that out. So here's how you know if this is a good fit for you. If you are somebody who's very creative, if you enjoy decorating, if you enjoy planning activities with other people, or if you look at the building, you're like, man, we get this building now. I got all these great ideas, the things we could do. We should do this. This would be fun. We should plan this. If you have ideas like that, then this team would be a really good fit for you.
Enjoy okay? partying.
If you enjoy partying and having fun. Did you have your hand up? Yes.
How old do you have to be to be able to do that?
You're old enough. You're good. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. You qualify. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And I do need to mention that. I don't believe that as adults we have the real Holy Spirit, and teenagers have the junior version of the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is at work in all of our lives as believers. And so, we want to get teens involved in this as well, okay? This isn't just for adults. We want to get other people involved too. So, yeah, you qualify, I promise you. All right? Next up, we want to have an outreach team in place. We've been very proactive as a church from our beginning in just reaching out into our community and doing simple acts of kindness to show God's love. And so we've done things like the memorial ornaments at Christmas time, the backpack outreach before school, giving out free backpacks with back-to-school supplies, free water bottles down at the trail and on Memorial Day weekend down at the cemetery there. We've done, in December, we do the day of service where we just go around and do things like scarf bombing or just random acts of kindness. We've done the ice cream giveaways, the sensory-friendly Easter egg hunt, the movie nights, movies in the park, and then movies in the parking lot, free popcorn for the movies, free popcorn for Halloween, like a lot of different things that we like to do. We just simple things we can do just to show God's love in simple, tangible ways to our community. We want to keep doing that. So we would love to have a team in place that organizes that and makes sure that those things keep happening consistently, but also to come up with other ideas that maybe we haven't thought of. some other things. What are some other things we could be doing that we haven't thought of to show God's love to this town that we live in? So this would be a good fit for you if you're somebody who notices needs in the community. If you look around and you notice needs, and instead of those needs being a source for, wow, this is wrong, this is bad, and complaining, but you notice those needs, you're like, I could do something about that. Our church could help out with that. If you notice needs and you have that mindset, this would be a good fit for you. If you're someone who is highly concerned about the felt needs of people, you see that somebody in the community who doesn't come to this church, but you see that they have a need, and you're like, our church should step in and do something. If you see those kind of things, this would be a good fit for you. If you're somebody who enjoys telling others about the church, or if you're somebody who enjoys giving when you know that it's going to help somebody who has a need, this would be a good fit for you. Or if you're somebody who has ideas about, hey, here's some things we could do to reach out into the community, and it seems really obvious to you, but nobody else sees it, this is probably a good fit for you. Okay? So back on the information center, there's a few clipboards for these different ministry teams. And there's also a piece of paper for each of them that describes what that ministry team does and how you know if it's a good fit for you. So take one of those. If you want to sign up for one of those, you can do that. Maybe earlier in the year you did sign up and things have changed. You're like, I can't really do that now. You can go and scratch your name off. We'll pretend we don't know us. We'll forgive you. It's okay. But find a place where you fit, okay? And if you want to get involved in one of those, sign up. Now, really important, something that we need for those to get off the ground is for each of those ministry teams, we need somebody to be the leader. We need somebody on each of those teams to kind of be the point person to say, yep, I'll be in charge to make sure that we get together and we plan things and to make sure that things happen. We need to have a leader in place for each of those ministry teams. So if you are interested in being one of those leaders, talk with myself or with Dwight or with Dan, let us know and we'll get you plugged in. Okay, so that's ministry teams. Now, so those are several things that are coming up this fall, right? There's a lot of things that are going to be starting up, and these are all starting up in the next few weeks. I also want to talk with you about a couple of things that we don't have in place right now, but they're going to happen, okay? These are a couple of ministries that God has called us to do. They're part of our vision for this church, but it's going to be a while before they get up and running. But I want to let you know about them so you can be praying with us for God's timing and for God to lead us. The first one is this. We want to have a recovery ministry here at our church. As a church, we place high value on God's power and His promise of freedom. From the beginning of this church, I've always said this church will be a place where miracles happen, where sicknesses are healed, where addictions are broken, where marriages are restored, where the lost are found, where the hopeless find hope. And those things happening, that will be the norm. And having a recovery ministry is a part of that vision. That this will be a place where those who are struggling with whatever addiction can come and find hope and find encouragement and not be judged, but find people who understand them and will encourage them and help them, where they can gain the tools to grow through that and they can find freedom and victory in Christ. That is something God has called this church to do. It's not here yet, but we're praying for God's timing. So I want to ask you to pray with us for that to take place soon. Another ministry we want to start up is a marriage ministry. As a church, we place high value on marriage. And we all know that marriages are struggling. Marriage goes through difficult times. But marriage is so important. Marriage is the context for oneness, as the Bible describes it. It's the closest human relationship we can experience. It's the context for sexual fulfillment, for raising kids, for building a healthy home. It's the foundation for a healthy neighborhood and a healthy society. It's God's creation. It's God's invention, His idea. And we believe that marriages should be healthy and fulfilling, that marriage should not be something we endure, but something we enjoy. Because marriage, as God intended it, one man and one woman joined together in covenant, sacrificing for each other, loving each other unconditionally, we celebrate that. But we also understand marriage can be challenging and difficult. And no, we're not asking for any testimonies right now. So we want to provide tools to help marriages grow healthy and strong. One of those is a marriage counseling ministry. We want to have marriage counseling available here at the church, where couples can come and have that third voice, right? That outside person who's not emotionally invested at all, who can give guidance and wisdom. Somebody who loves God and who has the right training to provide counsel and guidance to couples when they're going through difficult times. That is something we need to have here. We also want to be a church where we have marriage retreats from time to time. We actually, Sheila and I were talking about that earlier this year and looking at a couple of places and thinking hopefully next year, 2021, we can plan something. And then again, everything went 2020 and that's just not going to happen right now. So, but we want to be able to do that at some point in the near future, is have retreats like on a regular basis for our church where couples can take a weekend to just get away, just as couples, and take a break from the kids and just go to a place where they can spend time together and grow together as a couple and find the tools to work on growing a stronger and a healthier relationship. So marriage counseling ministry and marriage retreat, those are some things that we need to do at some point in the future. So those are coming, we just don't know when. So God is at work, right? There's a lot of crazy stuff that's happening, but God is doing some really great things, and he invites us to join him in that work. As a church, we are doing that, and we're encouraging you to join us in that as well. There's a couple of things I want to encourage all of you to do to help make that happen. There's three things I'm going to ask everybody to do to help us fulfill the calling that God has given us. Now, before you get up and get ready to leave, I know what you're thinking, because anytime a pastor says, here's what we're doing as a church and here's where you come in, the result is always you need to give money, right? I'm not going to talk about money at all. I promise you. That's not one of the three things, okay? Three things that I'm asking everybody to do to help us fulfill God's calling for us. Number one, I want to encourage you to make coming here on Sundays a priority. To make being here consistently a priority, that on Sundays, this is what we do. That we don't allow other things we could be doing to get in the way and to push this aside. That we make this the priority, that what we do on Sundays is we meet together as family. We meet together as worshipers. We meet together as a gathering of imperfect people seeking to know and encounter God. Make this your priority. And I encourage you to, because there's 1,000 other things we could all be doing right now, right? But you're here, and that's awesome. And I just encourage you to make that a consistent thing where the other things that we could be doing on Sunday morning, we put that off for now. We'll take care of it later. But right now, Sunday morning, we're going to carve out time to focus on worshiping God, encouraging each other, building relationships, being here together to honor him and to hear from his word. Make this a priority every Sunday. Here's the second thing. I want to encourage you to pray. To pray consistently for the ministries that God is raising up here in this church. And I can't overemphasize how important this is. Bonnie gave voice to this a couple Wednesdays ago when we were meeting downstairs for prayer. She said this. She said, the day is coming when this room won't be big enough for all the people coming to pray. And I embrace that, and I pray for that day to come. That the day will come when just like in this room here. Okay, so if you look around, you notice we got like 5 different kinds of chairs, right? And they don't match at all. And there's a reason for that. When we first came into this building, we had these 50 blue chairs up here. And that's all we needed. But then we started to grow, so we had to add more chairs. So we're like, okay, so now we got some green chairs here. And then we kept growing, so we had to add some more. So we got some folding chairs, and we got the pub tables back there, and we got the white chairs. So we kept adding more chairs, and so nothing matches, right? We just have all these different chairs. Why? Because we needed them, and that's a good problem to have. The problem we have with the prayer ministry is much worse than that. The problem with the prayer ministry is we have too many empty chairs because not many people come to pray for this church on Sundays and on Wednesdays, and that is something that needs to change. See, we're not just an organization that puts plans together and then carries out those plans. We're a church. We need to depend on Christ. He's the leader, which means we need to communicate with him and talk with him and listen for what he's saying about what we do and where each of us is involved. And that happens. That's what prayer is all about. And all the stuff that we talked about this morning, all the different ministries starting up, if we're not praying, all of that is powerless. Whether it's sermons or youth rooms or new ministry starting up or small groups, none of that has any impact. None of that has any power behind it unless we are praying. And so I want to encourage you, like, if we're not praying, all we're going to see is what we are capable of doing. And that's not good enough. I don't want to just see what I can do. I want to see what God can do. And that happens when we pray. So I want to encourage you to make that a priority too. Whether it's coming here on Wednesdays or on Sundays, or if you're not able to set aside time on Sundays and on Wednesdays to pray for the church and to pray for the needs and to pray for the ministry. So whatever you use to remind you, if it's a post-it note or if it's your calendar or your phone or a watch or whatever, set a reminder for yourself on Sundays and on Wednesdays, whether it's coming here or if you can't, regardless whether you're here or not, set a reminder to say, you know what, right now I'm going to stop what I'm doing and just take a step back for a couple minutes and just pray for the church and pray for the ministries and pray for people in the church that I know they've got this need. They're going through this struggle. So I'm going to stop right now and pray for them. We need to be a people of prayer. So I'm encouraging you to make that a priority. Now, here's the last thing. The third thing I'm asking you to do to help us fulfill God's calling for us, and that is to give. I'm just kidding. I told you I wasn't going to do that. So that was a joke. You're supposed to laugh. It's okay. Let me laugh. There we go. Just checking to see if you're awake. Here's the third thing I'm asking you to do, is to get involved in a place that fits you. God has given you spiritual gifts. He's given you life experiences. He's given you a unique personality. He's given you talents, and he's given you interests and passions. And your ministry flows out of all of that. See, ministry was never meant to be something we do because we felt guilty. Well, somebody told me I better do this or I don't really love God, so okay, I'll do this. That's not ministry. Ministry was also never meant to be something that we do because, well, nobody else is doing that, so I guess I better do it. That's not what ministry is all about. It's something that God is working out in your heart. It's a passion that he puts within you. It's something that makes you come alive. And I want you to know, whatever ministry God has called you to, whatever spiritual gifts you have, there's a place here in this church for those gifts and that calling to flourish. So maybe as you were listening today and we were talking about some of the new things coming up, maybe something you heard, it just resonated in you and you're like, I want to be a part of that. I want to get involved in that. Or maybe as you were listening, there was like, I don't hear anything that really clicks with me, but man, there's this need and I'd love to start this ministry. Come and talk with one of us. Let us know. Because see, most of the ministries we have here, they didn't happen because the leadership team got together and said, we need to have this ministry and this team and this committee, so you're going to do this and you're going to... That's not how it happened. Most of the ministries we have here happened because somebody stepped forward and said, hey, I feel like God's calling me to start this ministry. So we have a men's ministry because Sean Carnes stepped forward and said, I want to start a men's ministry. And we have a women's ministry because at different times, Mandy stepped forward and Sheila and Deb and Danielle stepped forward and said, we want to have ministries to women. And the youth ministry started because Scott stepped forward and said, I want to start a ministry to the teens in this church. And the kids ministry because Carrie Feigard and then Jean Marie stepped forward and said, I want to start a ministry to kids. And we're going to teach lessons. They're going to memorize verses. And Danielle with the toddlers. And Wednesday night prayer ministry happens. Why? Because Nicole stepped forward and said, I want to start a prayer ministry where we meet together on Wednesdays and pray for the needs of the church. All of these things are in place because someone stepped forward and said, God put this passion in my heart and I'm going to start this ministry. So maybe you look around and you don't see anything in place that really fits you, but there's something in your heart that you say, I would love to do this. Come and talk with one of us and let's see how we can make that happen. Because again, look at what Jesus says here in John chapter 20, verse 21. He said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. We have a mission. We have a calling. He invites us to join him in the work that he is doing. And here's the good news. He goes on and says, then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He has given us everything we need to fulfill that calling. He has breathed life into us. And he has given us his Holy Spirit. He calls us to join him in the work he's doing. So let's join him. So Father, I thank you this morning that you invite us to come alongside you and to change lives because that's what you're up to. Father, I pray that you would do a work in each of our hearts. I pray that each of us would hear your voice and know what you're saying to us and how you're working in our lives and what you're calling us to. We want to join you. Every one of us is here because you changed our lives. Every one of us is here because somebody used their gifts, used their abilities and reached out and had an impact on us. And so I pray that as individuals and as a church, God, you will use us to touch the lives of people around us. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do, God. You are amazing, and we worship you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.